Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. We're doing a special Monday afternoon edition. I'm digging this. Breaks my day up. It's very, very cool. Today, we've got a very cool project and a fantastic guest, Mr. Mark Edward Lewis, I should say. And he has a project going. Well, Mark, hello and welcome to the show.
Hi, sir.
You had a comic that came out a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, a few years ago. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, and this is
6 or 7 years ago.
Wow. Okay. Let me ask you. I don't know much about the comic world. First off, and looking at my show notes here, it says a motion comic. What does that mean? Necessarily, is it digital or?
We have a digital version of the comic, but the motion comic, some people say, what is a motion comic? And they're like, is it emotional? I'm like, no, it's not emotion comic. It's a motion comic. It's like an emotion version. Scratch and sniff. No, it's the way the story goes is this whole thing started out as a television series back in 2006. We were going to do a webisode. Webisodic series back in the day when nobody knew what that was. We wrote a bunch of scripts and people loved it in the industry. And like, you know, this really is a television series, like a genuine one. So we wrote a pilot, but this is 2006.
Oh, wow.
And we were shows like Painkiller Jane and the reboot of Bionic Woman were on, and where nobody really understood that a female superhero could lead a show. Nobody really liked it. And those two shows tanked. For other reasons too, but you know, it was a kind of a dark time for the rebellion and
right.
In the world of, you know, women's empowerment, female empowerment. And we actually pitched it to Christina Loken, and she passed, and we said, you know, this television pitch thing is not going, the industry is not where we wish it were in the world of, you know, hey, women can do lead roles too. So we embarked on the comic book. And we found a great artist in the form of Emmanuel Zirk Xavier, makes this amazing kind of hand-drawn meets computer-generated hybrid art. And
nice.
We did that. And then one of our buddies came to us and who was developing apps on the iTunes store for Apple. And he goes, you know, we could do a series of motion comics on iTunes and be the first episodic series on iTunes. And I asked him the same question you asked me, which is, what the heck's a motion comic? And he's like, well, you just, you know, take, you already know you're a filmmaker already. You just take the pictures from the comic book, animate them, do voiceovers, immersive audio, and meld it all together into a production that people can watch, like a television,
wow.
Almost like an animation, but without the animation. So like lips aren't moving.
Bit static,
It's they're moving, there's effects, there's, you know, lots of stuff going on. And this, nobody was really doing this back then. Now everybody's doing motion comics, but they're making them as productions themselves. They're usually not pulling them from the actual artwork of a comic book issue. So that's what we do to kind of add value. And this, our first four issues of this motion comic have done, they're all over the world. They're in multiple languages. It's huge in China. It's kind of a thing. So part of our Kickstarter is to get that rolling, you know, do motion comics for issues 5 and 6. But the biggest issue is if you don't have artwork, you got nothing. So we're raising money to finish the artwork for issues 5 and 6 and turn all 6 issues of this, you know, chapter of this comic book into a trade paperback. And, you know, it's going to be great.
That's awesome. So people, when you did this, when you did the motion, they got it on their phone. They didn't go to a comic book store necessarily and buy a it's amazing. You know, I know, and you have to forgive me. I'm kind of an old man. But, you know, I know the world is crazy, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it's zany. I have news first and all that, too. But we live in such an amazing time. People get their comics on their phone. How cool is that? I mean, I know people watch movies on them. That's amazing.
Yeah. And
that's
quite... This is before Comixology and, you know, these shell apps where you can load thousands of comics and then just read them. This is long before that. We were doing, you know, forcing people to download 200 megabytes on their iPhone 3, you know, going, whoa,
wow.
Well, but that's cool. So it worked.
That's amazing. So this was very successful, and now you're remember, I think it's so cool that you're utilizing crowdfunding and Kickstarter. I tell you, it's something many, many years ago, I finished up school. I'm a painter. That's what I do for a living. I paint pictures of people.
Oh, nice.
And I finished up art school, and I moved out to San Diego because, you know, it was the polar opposite of living in Boston. And
yes,
too
that
much
would be
winter,
cold.
You know. Right,
yeah.
Exactly. So when I was out there, of course, you know, living in San Diego, I means I was in LA every other weekend, you know, with work and whatnot. And you just meet everybody in the industry out there. That's just how it is, you know. And it seems that every other weekend I was going to or donating paintings, something to projects, fundraising projects. There was always a party every weekend, it seemed like. For mm-hmm. somebody's trying to get a film made or do a short or we're doing something, you know. And this was before crowdfunding. I wish I would have thought of Kickstarter. Oh, my God. You know, I mean, it's a brilliant idea. Oh, man. But, you know, it's amazing. I was looking at your Kickstarter. And, folks, we have a link right there to direct to the Kickstarter campaign for the Omega One campaign here to the next minute. I got to scroll up because I was scrolling down the Hacker Omega One, the Hacker Wars comic book. I know you have an $18,000 goal, but man, you're at like $8,000. That's amazing. You know, it's
no, we're at $9,000 right now.
Oh, 9,000. There you go. See, I should have, yeah. I should have refreshed my page, ladies and gentlemen.
Things are moving fast. Yeah.
I'm telling you, that's amazing. And, you know, that's as anybody in the creative world knows, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard. You're doing stuff. You don't know if people are digging it or whatnot, you know. And this is a great way. That's got to be a nice shot in the arm, you know, daily. When you look at that, and people obviously are digging what you're doing, you know, and they're supporting
it
with their dollar.
It's both a shot in the arm and a shot in the face. It's both because crowdfunding, you know, you've seen, I mean, you know, you work mm-hmm. in entertainment and you hear every day, oh, I'm going to do a crowdfund. And 99% of people have no idea what they're talking about or how much
exactly.
sacrifice and crying and sleepless nights you're going to spend up for 30 days. And that's just the campaign, much less the 3 months that you're going to need beforehand to get this thing in
right.
shape. And even if you have thousands of people who have donated to your campaigns in the past, as we do, still, there's so much work that goes into it. But it is...
Oh, absolutely.
To me, the best part about it is, obviously you get money, but the best part about it is that you create a family, you create a community of people that take ownership in your project just from an emotional level. And so every time you post, they're on it. They're like, what's going on now? And how can we support? And, you know, they're going to give you great critique. They're going to take your film to their local film festival or have their own screening of it if you're doing a film thing. It's so amazing, the crowdfunding community. And these people are, you know, the best people in the world.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I have a good friend of mine and she's a musician and she's, I think, on her seventh album or something like that now. And they've indie artist and she's crowdfunded them all through Kickstarter. And she was telling me, no, her deal is, as a lot of people in entertainment, especially independent artists and whatnot, she's got a day job. She works commercial real estate out in the West Coast there. And she said, you know, she goes, doing a crowdfunding is like having a full-time second job because you really have to be on it. And I was at a party a couple weeks ago, and I ran into somebody, and they were telling me that they were trying to get money together to hire a crowdfunding campaign manager. I didn't even know that was a job that people do that.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea, you know. I'm like, well, sounds if they know what they're doing, maybe it's worth it. You know, I don't know.
Well, there's as soon as you launch a crowdfund on any platform, Indiegogo, whatever, you're going to get 18 emails every day from people that say they can. Oh, we've got all of this, and we've got a proven. I can tell you that there are very, very few people who know what they're doing
right,
or what they're talking about, even though they've said they've got all this stuff. And we've actually, in our community, we have people that are extremely good at doing this. They've built their whole business, and I mean, they're very close friends of mine. In fact, one of the gentlemen who is in New York, he's the one who actually inspired me to go do Blade of Honor several years ago. He's like, you know, you need to do this. So, but there are very few people, you know, trust no one, you know, when
right,
it comes to, oh, we can help you with your campaign.
It's like anything, though, you know, and then people come out of the woodwork. It's funny, on my Twitter, I specialize in pop art portraits, you know, kind of like Andy Warhol type looking, you know, pop art.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of my, you know, on Instagram, all the stuff says pop artist. And because, you know, that's in my thinking and not forward thinking, I guess, you know, that made sense. Let people know what I do. But I get emails every day from all these rap guys, hip hop people that want to sell me beats. I'm like, I'm not a musician, but thank you. I have no need for beats.
They want to sell
but,
you beats. Well, you're
yeah,
talking
like
about
the
headphones. You're talking about actual beats, loops.
Yeah, yeah, actual beats. They think I'm some sort
wow,
of musician trying to do pop music or something. And I'm like, I'm too heavy for that. But
wow.
You know, it's amazing. Hey, now you mentioned Blade of Honor. You've got, you know, you're not just a babe in the woods out here. You've got some pretty awesome credentials and whatnot, projects you've worked on and what have you. I mean, you bring this to the table. Tell us a little bit about some of those.
Well, I'm definitely not a babe, but definitely in the woods, chopping away. In the woods, definitely. It's been quite an interesting trip. Interesting that both Blade of Honor and Omega One were had their original creation within a few months of each other, way back in the aughts of the 21st century. And Blade of Honor, we're basically it's a pilot now that the series for a pilot for a series rather that we're shopping to the internet distributors to try to look for a season one purchase. Sci-fi, sort of Battlestar Galactica meets Oblivion, stars Tim Ross from Star Trek Deep Space, Star Trek Voyager, Aaron Eisenberg from Deep Space Nine, James Kyson from Heroes. Who else do we have in there that I'm losing my mind about? And of course, it's Richard Hatch's last passed away a few weeks later. It's an amazing production, something that I'm working on for almost 14 years. And it was wholly crowdfunded. And so that's kind of my personal big baby right now. But we have a slate of 10 series that we're looking to launch. The next one is a supernatural Western. Yeah, it's so dope. And depending on how our Kickstarter does with Omega One, we will go back to the original. It's Charlemagne of being a television series, either in position three or position four of our slate. So we're up to big things. And then, of course, my day gig, as if this wasn't enough, my day gig is I manage and present for cinemasound.com, where I do my very best. We do our very best to educate filmmakers, independent media creatives, and podcasters such as yourself as to how to create and get that Hollywood unfair competitive advantage into their productions using sound and audio. We have the world's only fully comprehensive 85-hour-plus education to take independent creatives from how to record all the way through post delivery, 5.1 surround, everything else.
Nice. That's amazing, man. Yeah, you sleep at some point in your day, I assume. I don't know when, but I see. Nice. Nice. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime. And treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year I was on holiday with my girlfriend Danny. We were at Disney World and having a great time. It's the happiest place on earth. And I dropped my vape, just like a Butterfingers, and it was a pain in the neck. They just don't have anything there to replace it and whatnot. So we had to drive 45 minutes each way to get a new one. And, you know, that's an hour and a half out of our day, man. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened because if I would have had this fantastic new product, the C-Ring. It's very, very cool. What it is it attaches to your vape, designed to protect your investment with comfort, flexibility while doing your day-to-day activity. What it does is it goes in there, you put your finger in there, and you hold it, and you're not dropping your vape, breaking it and whatnot. It's very, very cool, and if you need both hands, they have a lanyard you can hook to, and it's awesome. It's awesome. The C-Ring, you can find out more about it and pick one up at their website, www.thecring.com. Again, that's www.thecring.com. Be smart, be like me, get a C-Ring if you're a vapor. Very, very good. Oh, and hey, holidays are coming up, man. This is a very cool gift for somebody. If you have somebody on your shopping list that vapes like I do, get them a C-Ring. Thecring.com. Well, let me ask you, you focus on a lot of science fiction-based, in that world with the projects you're doing and whatnot. Were you always a sci-fi, like, did you grow up, were you a sci-fi kid? Were you playing Dungeons & Dragons and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah, no, I wasn't allowed to play Dungeons & Dragons, although I would have loved to. I was sure that I was going to be a paleontologist. I knew that I was going to dig up every dinosaur that was left in the ground and put them in museums and on display. I was so in love with dinosaurs. And then at the ripe age of 6 and 1977, my grandparents took me to this theater on Hollywood Boulevard called Man's Chinese. And if you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. It's the one with the hands and footprints and the, and the cement from all the people, the stars and everything. And they took me to see this weird independent movie. And it started out with this weird orange text that kind of went up. And then this big triangular looking ship comes in the top of the screen and blows up this other ship. And then there's droids. And I'm telling you,
absolutely,
at that moment, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That moment, I was like, whatever that is, that's what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. Hang dinosaurs. I'm going to do this. And so pretty much from the beginning, I was always into, whether it was Star Trek or Star Wars or Babylon 5, any of the greats, Battlestar Galactica, of course, I was on. I'll tell you another story. I had to go to bed at 8 o'clock or 7:30.
Right.
And
Wow.
my favorite show was Battlestar Galactica, and it came on at 7. So I'd watched, I saw all the first halves of all the episodes with Lauren Green and Dirk Benedict and all this, right? And Richard Hatch. And, I don't know how old you are, but you can now know how old I am. And I just thought Apollo.
Same.
Okay. Apollo was the dude, man. All I wanted to do was have a blaster and a slide rig and a cool jacket and walk around and save everybody and fly a Viper, right?
That's right.
So I was like, whatever that is, that's what I want to do. And he was always my big, man crush, if you will. Well, I'm the way back meter forward about 20 years, and I'm broke, right? I'm living in an apartment.
Okay.
I got no money. And I'm on Craigslist looking for work as an editor. I just updated my editing with it. I'm on Craigslist trying to find work. So you know how bad off I am. And I'm sending out all this stuff. I get a response. And it goes, hey, you know, I liked your reel. Let's meet. I got this little production I need some editing help with. And he said, let's meet at this restaurant. And I knew where it was. Signed, Richard. I'm like, okay. So I show up at this restaurant, which I'd frequented before. And I go to the back.
Oh, wow.
And there on the other side of the restaurant is Richard Hatch. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's Richard Hatch. And I was like 15 minutes early to this meeting. I'm just going to go over there and introduce myself because I'm early to whatever meeting the other guy is. And I go over and he's talking with this woman. And I'm like, Mr. Hatch, hi, I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but I just wanted to say what an incredible fan I am of you as a filmmaker and as an actor. And he was like, oh, don't worry, she's leaving. And for the life of me, I don't think she was leaving, but she left. And I sat down and we start talking about all this stuff, about just life. And we don't talk about business, nothing. It's just life and relationships and women and how it is. And 15 minutes later, I go, Mr. Hatch, listen, I got this meeting I got to go to. He goes, you know, I have a meeting too. And wouldn't you know, we're meeting each other. And from that point on, I mean, for years and years, we never talked. We became very close. We never talked about business ever. It was always about relationships and women and how to get smarter and better and get through life better, life hack. And then one day, I got a call from my friend Alec Peters. He said, hey, listen, Star Trek New Voyages they need a director. And I obviously Richard worked on Axanar with Alec Peters. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I'd love to do that and work with James Colley. And we did one episode. And then the next year they brought me back again, but they needed a really, really big bad guy. And I was like, you know, I've never actually worked with Richard Hatch. We're such great buddies. And I called him. I'm like, how would you like to be this bad guy and just come out to New York and shoot with us for a few days? And that was the first time. That was probably 12 years of me hanging around with Richard before we ever worked together. And then it was such a great experience. And then a year or so later, we said, listen, why don't you come on Blade of Honor as Admiral DeCarrick? And he came on and he did during the crowdfund. He was like never not in his car driving from interview to interview because everybody wanted to interview him for our crowdfund. And
nice.
We didn't realize he was a big man. I mean, really like probably he's probably what 5'11", maybe 250, probably big dude. And he came to our reading or with all the cast and he was about 30 pounds less, maybe 40. And from a Hollywood standpoint, we're like, wow, you look great. You look great. He's like, well, you know, I've been feeling I had some blockages. And that was on a Tuesday. His first day on camera was Saturday. He probably lost another 15 pounds.
Oh,
and
yeah,
we were
not
like,
good.
Hey, for a man in his 70s, what's going on?
Right.
And he never told us. I didn't find out until 3 days before he died. Somebody said, hey, listen, he's going to expire. He's in the hospital. Go visit him at Cedars. And, it was a rough time, but I'm very honored and pleased that he's represented so well in, you know, this last thing he did, because nobody was more of a nerd than he was. And all he ever wanted to do was support the fans who supported him for so many years. So, you know,
that's amazing.
That story.
That's amazing. You know, to this day, it's funny. I was talking to a friend of mine and they were updating their resume and they're like, you know, you should always put special skills, you know, and we were kind of got on this weird special skills thing. And they're like, he asked me, he said, what's one of your, I said, I can launch a Viper out of the Galactica. I know exactly how to, I watched that so many times as a kid. I know which button to push and how to do it.
Wow. How did it launch? That's something that's amazing.
Oh yeah, I'm telling. That was a good show. I liked it. I liked the reboot.
Did you watch Buck Rogers?
Oh, absolutely. Every Friday night. Every Friday.
So, which launch tubes do you like better?
I like the Galactica launch tube. They're very similar, actually. Were they the same?
Identical,
now that I think about it.
No. I think the models were identical, but I think they lit them differently and they do different sounds.
I gotcha.
Yeah, they're pretty similar. Same producer.
It was kind of well, there you go. I remember one of the reasons I watched Buck Rogers is my father really thought Colonel Deering was, you know, all right on a Saturday night. He
Come
dug
on,
her.
Man. Aaron Gray, the hottest thing on television. Give me a break.
Oh, I'm telling you.
She was amazing.
Well, it was funny. A few years back, well, gosh, it's been about 15 now, I was at Comic-Con in San Diego, and she was there, you know, as a lot of people do, doing her thing, signing autographs and whatnot. And I got her I got one for my father and had it all framed up and sent to him. And he's like, oh, kid, you're
great.
Finally making it. You met Colonel Deering. You know, that California is working out for you.
What's funny about Aaron Gray and that whole role was it was not the beginning, but certainly several steps up the hill toward equality in leads and mm-hmm. and empowered female values for young women back in the 80s, you know, that was 80s. And for us,
right.
Omega One, we were like, you know, Aaron Gray just kind of, and that whole series kind of did a lot of the paving for sci-fi
mm-hmm.
now. Like you got shows like Dark Matter, where, I mean, that's basically
right.
a female driven show. You've got what's the other one shot in Canada that just completed not too many years ago, the time traveling sci-fi show?
Continuum.
Thank you.
Continuum.
There's another one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. I mean, just you can't even imagine a man being in the lead of that. And,
no, it wouldn't.
It just keeps going. No, terrible. So we're seeing this, and it's such a change in the Hollywood marketplace from how it was in 2006 when we first started Omega One, that it's just really great. And perhaps it has a lot to do, I'm not sure about this, but it might have a lot to do with the fact that webisodic media, and I'm including mm-hmm. shows like House of Cards in webisodic media, webisodic media is really starting to take hold in a really powerful way. And the people
right.
are getting, you know, hey, you know, it's true that 90% of purchasing is done by women. So why aren't we catering to that? What's wrong with that?
It is in our house. Yeah, that's
yeah,
very true.
Right.
That's very true. Well, it's cool. And it's got to be, you know, you have to, you know, put your guys, like you were saying, you know, Omega One, this is a female badass driven character, you know, she kicks butt.
Mm-hmm.
That's very, very cool. And a lot of people, I tell you, it amazes me. My girlfriend, Danny, is she's into cosplaying. She goes to all these conventions and all this kind of stuff. That's thing, you know. And it's kind of funny, you know, she's the star of that world in our world here. And, you know, whenever I go into anything with her, you know, I'm with her, you know, that kind of type deal. But
yep.
my inner 12-year-old self is going, man, where were all these gals when I was 12 years old? Because I tell you, when I'd go to buy comic books at the comic store or whatever, there were no gals in there at the time, you know, and it's a different culture now. People, I think there's more women involved in that than men, it seems almost. I don't know, maybe equal. But I think it's not
well,
bad.
Well, certainly
now.
Cosplaying, yeah, I would think so.
Oh yeah. You know, I have a friend of mine. He's like, how is that like? I said, what, when there's a convention and we have a house full of, you know, attractive women dressing up like super, oh, it's just terrible. You know, yeah,
it's horrible.
Are you kidding me?
Well, here's another interesting thing. Cause we had a booth at Comic-Con a few years back and, mm-hmm. You know, comic book people, sci-fi people generally are the most wonderful and, you know, coolest people to be around, not just because I'm one of them, but because they kind of get life doesn't have to be so serious. And they, you know,
right.
whichever side of the fence of Star Wars or Star Trek you're on, it's okay. We'll get over it. But I remember
right.
we were late to get to the opening. I think it was Friday or something like this, to get to our booth. And we were on this trolley in San Diego. You know what I'm talking about? The one that comes down from,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. And it was so packed. It was like Tokyo at 4:30 p.m. packed, and just
right.
like, wow, this is really awful. And like you're in there and we're all hurting because we're just rammed into this little trolley. And anywhere else at any other time in the world, everybody be mad or nobody's talking or whatever that thing that you know,
right.
Western people do, but not on this little trolley. For 15 minutes, they started singing all of the, as many of the TV comic book show themes that they could, from Transformers to Thundercats. And you're like, man, these people cannot be stopped. These are just happy people.
Right.
And that's, you know, whether it's men or women, when you go to a Comic-Con, and we've done a ton of various Comic-Cons, everybody's happy. Everybody's up. Even if they're upset, they're like, well, okay, I'll get over it. As a general rule, it's just a different way of thinking. And I don't know if it's because of comic books or because of sci-fi or because of Comic-Cons, or it's just these are how these people are wired. But I love comic book people. And I'm sorry I wasn't one a long time earlier.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Velvet Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS. That's ROXX for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com. Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi, folks. Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion. Fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks. Well, you know, the interesting thing I think about sci-fi fans and stuff in general is, and yes, you may be, you know, I believe me, I love a good negative utopian book and whatnot. Big Neuromancer
right.
fan. But not so much when it's real life, like
yeah, that sucks.
Kind of they're seeing, but it's good in a book. But no, you know, there is a glimmer of hope. You know, even if it's you know, a downtrodden scenario or whatnot, there's you know, the rebellion will rise up against the Empire. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The Federation will defeat the Borg. There's a hopeness to that you just don't get, I think, in other genres. And I think we all, you know, would like to believe that. I personally would, you know, that the good guys
yeah.
eventually
well,
will
I
win.
If we crack over to the Star Trek side with Gene, you know, Gene's whole idea with Star Trek was IDIC, IDIC, you know, infinite, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And
that kind of
thinking where it's like, look, we don't have to get pigeonholed in our thinking, that we can expand
right.
and have, you know, infinite combinations, infinite diversity. That's, I mean, who's talking about that? I mean, we kind of lost
right.
that conversation since the Civil War, But, you know, not to get political, but, you know, now it's all about, you know, how do I pay for rent? But it's like, okay,
right.
What else can we do in the world? And how can we solve the problems of the world? And sci-fi for the last 50 years, maybe 60 years, even before Star Trek, has been having a social commentary on what's wrong in the world and in a way that people can get. Mm. And Omega One is its social commentary is, you know, it's okay and maybe even advisable to be both feminine and powerful as a woman, and to not have to, you know, compete with your male buddies who are on your team, but partner with them and everybody's equal. Let's go get this. Let's go make this happen.
And that's a good lesson that we all that's needed. And I see that, you know, if let me put it this way, Mark, if this was a horse, I would bet on it. Because I see the pattern of, equality race. I mean, cause you know, intelligent people, you know, the whole, and you're right. I'm trying to tread carefully and not get into a big, bog down of politics and whatnot. But you know, I mean, we live here. We are in, you know, where we're at, and there's not equal pay. I mean, that does not make sense to me. You know, whoever, yeah. You know, it just doesn't. I can't. It doesn't compute. I can't wrap my head around how that's even a thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
Along. You know, I put that right in there with, you know, how do we have a literacy in the modern era? You know, I mean, it's just, come on, man, get with it, folks. But I think like your project, it just pushes that forward, you know, and we'll get there. I was hoping we'd be on Mars by now, but
yeah.
Maybe we got 10 more years.
It's funny. My dad said, he grew up in the '40s and the early '50s. And he said, you know, when we thought about 1990s, we thought everybody'd be zipping around in a car in the air, you know, we wouldn't have any more internal combustion engines anywhere. And so we're not exactly on that schedule.
No, not at all. You know, it's interesting. I have a friend of mine actually she was a friend. She's a friend of my girlfriend's, but friend of ours, I should say. And she, you know, she's into pop culture and whatnot, but not to the extent that we are. And she just discovered the whole film noir genre. And so she had asked me, she goes, hey, what are some great, which is a big, I'm a big fan of. And she said, what are some great movies? You know, and I'm like, hey, Blade Runner is very noir and you'll dig it. But anyhow, she started watching on Netflix the Mad Men series. She had never even heard of it. And so she started watching, and then she called me and she's like, this is horrible, you know, the way these women are. I said, was 1960 in that world, you know, that's how that went down, you know. And she just couldn't wrap her head around it. She couldn't envision that, you know, people would put up with that kind of. I'm like, well, you know.
There was an article that came out. I don't know if it was American Housekeeping or whatever the name of the article was, but that article came out. The American government picked it up. This is 1953, something like this. American government picked it up. You can look this up online. You can see this is where I found it. And it was a how to be a good wife kind of thing, like 20 best things you can do. And some of them are actually pretty good. Some of them are like, okay, as a man, I'm like, well, actually, that would be cool. But the one that gets me, and this, the American government sent this out to houses for women to you know, understand how to be a good wife while your husband's working in post-World War II America. And the one that got me was, don't be upset when he doesn't come home at night. Just have breakfast ready for him when he walks in. Don't ask questions because, after all, it's his house anyway.
Wow.
Rough, right?
Even
in my craziest I hate women moments after a breakup, I can't imagine living in a world where that's how it was. And my parents grew up in that. And, you know, obviously feminism had to happen. We had to have the sexual revolution, the cultural revolution. And
absolutely.
We're seeing now in media kind of a new renaissance of not just let's bash men, which is what sitcoms have become, but let's actually have equality on the narrative side. and let's join arms and fight the aliens together. Let's have the Avengers, where, yeah, there's not a lot of women in the Avengers right now, but the women that are there are pretty dope. And
right.
Let's have Black Panther, where, yes, of course, you know, racial equality is important. But to me, the gender equality is far more important, because that's 3.5 billion people
mm-hmm.
altogether that are being,
absolutely.
Know, what's the word I want to use? Discriminated against. And,
mm-hmm. and marginalized.
Panther, and you're like, marginalized. There you go. The best part of Black Panther, as good as it is, are those women with spears, man.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like I said, and it's coming, you know, it could, in my opinion, I'm sure yours too, couldn't come soon enough. It needed to happen cultural wise. And it is, it has happened fast. You know, the same thing with like, you know, you look at other, you look, compared to like technology, you know, communication, travel, all of that. Really the last 100 years have been amazing on many fronts,
left.
You know, and
yeah. Just imagine,
you know, we have,
you know, my son was born. We talk about millennials, and I have a son who's 24.
Mm-hmm.
So he's more, he's actually a Gen Y officially.
Okay.
But he grew up in the 90s and the early aughts, but he can still remember landline telephones, and he can still remember world without cell phones. And just the last 30 years, even the last 20 years, the world has transformed itself, where we have an entire generation of people who have no idea what life is like without a virtual world.
And, absolutely. You know, and I think it's only going to get more.
Yeah. And the opportunity for equality to show up in this virtual world. I finally saw Ready Player One a couple of days ago,
mm-hmm.
which I really liked, actually. A lot of my friends hated it, and I'm like, what's wrong with you? This is just fun. And
I had the same experience with my friends, too. They were all like, well, the book and blah. I'm like, man, I don't care. I just enjoyed the film. Are you give me a break?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm not writing a dissertation on this for class. I just wanted to have fun. And, you know, I spent my $8 and I did.
Well, I love the idea of the avatar that you don't know, right? Where
right.
H is actually, you know, a middle-aged African-American woman with a ball cap on backwards. And what
right.
it reveals is that although we've talked about avatars, you know, theoretically, your skin or your gender is your avatar. And
right.
who you really are have nothing to do with what you look like or how you may have a gender. And that's what I loved about that movie. It wasn't said, really. Well, I guess it kind of was. So, like, you could be a big man in a whatever, you know, not know who she really is. But that's, it works both ways. You don't know who that person really is.
Right.
Based on what they look like.
Well, and it's an amazing, you know, we live in an amazing time, and it's just going to get faster, folks. It's just going to get faster. And, you know, I'm definitely an amateur futurist. But, you know, you read this stuff like quantum computing and all this and that. It's you know, that knocks Moore's laws on its head. And I live every day with bated breath on 10 years from now. Even 15, you know, what's going to be going, hopefully if we can make it over this little hump, it's going to be a nice valley beyond.
Yeah.
I'm hoping, but
yeah,
the cool thing
is there's no way to be a futurist right now. Not really.
Mm-mm.
I was actually running a bunch of audio gear at an audio store years ago, and there was a poster there. I've actually discovered it was since a hoax, but the story is still good. There's a picture there of these guys in a lab coat, black and white, from the 50s, saying, this is what a computer will look like in the year 2000, 50 years
right.
from now. And it's this gigantic room-sized
the
thing,
big Univac,
submarine
right.
wheel. Yeah, I mean, massive typewriter. I mean, it was like, and they're like, well, and it will be able to do basic arithmetic and help your children with your homework, but the technology for it doesn't exist, and it'll be prohibitively expensive. And I'm looking at this while I'm holding an iPhone 4G.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
you know, this thing in my hand, this old iPhone, probably has more computational power than the aggregate computational power of the Earth in 1955.
That's very true.
And they're talking about 50 years from now, and we talk like 10 years from now, we have any idea at the rate technology is going, what it's going to be like.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Hey, folks, located in the hills of Tennessee, L'Apothecary Unique offers all-natural, organic, gluten-free skincare, hair care products, perfumed oils, medicinal salves, makeup, incense, and aromatherapy items, bath salts, and even much more, including something special for the fellows, like beard and mustache balm, astringent, and aftershave. Each item is made to order just for you, so check out L'ApothecaryUnique.com. Spelled L'ApothecaryUnique.com. L'ApothecaryUnique.com.
Ruxgear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierux.us.
Oh, and it, because it just, and things happen quickly. I was just reading an article the other day about they discovered by mistake, they were, I don't know, some scientists were working on something, and now they have a bacteria that eats plastic. I'm like, well, that's great. Put it to work.
Wow.
You know, it's amazing. It's amazing. And we do live, and I try to remember that whenever I see something horrible on the TV here in South Florida. You know, we just had that big. Well, you know, we joined the many other communities that have had these terrible tragedy shootings and stuff. And when I see that, it bums you out. You're like, oh, man, why are we so stupid? No wonder the aliens haven't visited us. You know, we're such neurons. But then I think, you know, and I'm like, okay, well, at least we've got a Tesla flying to, you know, I thought that was a pretty cool way to test the payload capability. But. You know, we're moving.
A roadster.
Things are happening. That's right. It's crazy. Well, one of the cool things about your project that I like is it moves that process along. It greases the wheels of the forward motion of equality. You know, I mean, yes, it's a comic and whatnot. But, you know, if that gives somebody the idea, hey, maybe this gal I like just isn't good for cooking and cleaning. You know, maybe she can be my partner and equal and we can take on it all together. That's worth it. You know, it's cool.
Yeah. I think it goes even deeper. Part of what I was trying to get to when I said that, you know, feminism had to happen is also the idea that, you know, it may have swung a little too far. I forget exactly the stats, but, you know, in the polls that are going around right now, 4 to 5% of women support feminism, but 80% of women support, female empowerment and equality in the workplace. So feminism may have fallen on the wayside a little bit and has, in, as a result, sacrificed what being truly feminine is. And that's one of the things that I'm really proud of about our story is that, you know, Omega was raised at a government, paragovernment institution, and raised with a bunch of other siblings, and you know there wasn't any social graces. They were trained; she was trained to be a killer, basically, a spy of sorts. So now, in her, young woman state, that in her late 20s, she'll feel emotion like love or care, but it's to her because she has really no experience of it. It's like a spidey sense to her. Like something's going to go wrong. It's all of a sudden her swords come out when her relationship with John Rutgers starts kindling. And it's an interesting exploration to go, well, what if a woman was raised as a man, but now doesn't have any memory of it. And what happens if she goes on a journey of discovery of what being feminine is? And my co-writer, who was a woman, Alina Andre, she really delved into that process going, well, wouldn't this be really interesting? Not just, women empowerment. As important and critical as that is and behind it as we are, it's also, hey, let's also explore what being feminine is in the process.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Those are big, you know, big issues to tackle. And that's amazing. That's why this has to, you know, we have to get this funded and working and whatnot. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And folks, once again, we have a link to the Kickstarter page where you can, you know, help and get involved and become part of the Omega One family here. One of the things I really like about Kickstarter, for those who don't know, is you can pledge different amounts. I guess they call it tiers or levels, or I don't know what they call it, but there's different amounts you can pledge, but you get, there's different benefits. There's different levels of when you help at different levels, you get different things. And you guys have all kinds of levels on here to pledge with some really cool stuff.
We've got some really cool stuff that's coming out tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
One of the, you know, we have thousands of donors who have donated to our products, our productions rather, in the past. And we're so grateful to them. But mainly, they have been connected with film products, productions that are multimedia, motion picture. And up until today, well, up until tomorrow, our perks have been predominantly serving the comic book community with trade paperbacks. We have a new Big Chris variant cover that's now a perk that he's making for us. If you know anything about Big Chris, you know, one of America's great comic book artists. We have, of course, the trade paperback. We've got all kinds of things where you can experience it, where if you donate high enough, you'll come out to Los Angeles and, you know, hang out with us. But tomorrow we are launching for the motion comic IMDb voiceover credits. So you donate X, and then you'll get a lead role in the motion comic and credits on IMDb. So if you're looking to update your reel or get something, you know, that you couldn't otherwise have, like nobody in the voiceover community has a motion comic on their reel. So that's what we're going to be creating. And all that stuff shows up tomorrow, various levels. We did something like this with the Blade of Honor campaign in post-production where people got their voices. We did it because it was a bunch of voiceover stuff that needed to be done. It did very well. Mm-hmm. People really appreciated being able to get an IMDb credit, first of all, and then being able to have something for their reel. But in this case, it's not just background work. This will be actual lead voices, you know, the voice of Ali, the voice of Omega, the voice of Dr. Bertrand, the voice of, you know, all of our characters. And so we're really excited to see that show up and support the filmmaking community and actors and voiceover artists if we can.
Oh, yeah. And that's a big deal. That is very, very cool. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant idea. Brilliant idea, man. Of course, for those who don't know, IMDb is the kind of the resume, the go-to resume of filmmakers and people in that world and whatnot. Very, very important. And yes, everybody looks at IMDb. It's true.
They do. We all do. Even just from a trivia perspective. Wait, who's in that? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it's now you have 16 days to go, is it?
We do. 16 days, almost halfway.
Okay. And folks, it's very important. So, you know, do what you can and whatnot. And, you know, if you're broke as a joke, we've all been there. We understand. Hit that share button, though. Right at the top, there's little, you know, icons of Twitter and Facebook. And it doesn't cost you anything. Just a button click, you know, click that or click on your phone or whatever.
Something else that would really help us, too. The sharing link was great. Thank you for mentioning that. The other thing that's great is just comment. You can comment if you're going to donate, even if it's to $5. Commenting sometimes, broke is a joke. I've never heard that. That's good. If you're broke is a joke, we'd love even $5, and then comment, and that really helps us in the Kickstarter search rankings when we have a lot of activity in social media. And you know, tell us a joke if you're broke is a joke, and we'll laugh online.
Exactly. Well, it's an awesome project. And, you know, Mark, I really, I'm looking at the time and I'm so sorry we went over. I've been just fascinated.
I'm not. This is great.
I made a new friend. I'm very happy.
Yeah.
I like anybody I could talk sci-fi with. because it isn't always the case. Very, very cool. And, you know, I wish you all the